God for all that he's done. I'm going to ask you to do what we do every single week, which is stand to your feet. Amen. Why are we standing? Because a million times in a week, the devil will try to knock you down. And I just want to refresh your memory, because see, the Word of God says when you've done everything that you could do, if you'll just stand there and stand firm, you're going to see the glory of God. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we invite you, God, into our midst right now. Lord, in your Word, you said that where two or more are gathered together, Lord, in your name, God, there you would be right in the very midst of them. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for everything that you're going to do in this service. Lord, I ask you right now, Daddy God, to walk down every single aisle, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, where addiction needs to break, God, I thank you that the chains of addiction, God, are broken in this place. God, where marriages need to be bonded back together, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for amending, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, where there needs to be a healing take place, Lord, in the body of your children, God, I ask for healing to begin to flow through their bodies right now in Jesus' name. God, where there is not enough, Lord, I ask that you would pour out, God, your grace, Lord, in your favor, and God, make it more than enough in Jesus' name. Lord, we welcome you right now into this place. God, I thank you that people walk away, God, changed. Lord, for everybody that came into Paris Christian Center this morning, God, and they're hurting, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you would comfort them right now. Lord, I invite that peace of God that passes all understanding. God, I invite that in here right now, God. Lord, for every person that's battled with depression this week, I speak to depression and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm so happy to be with family this morning. Amen. Let's go to Psalms chapter 90. We're going to look at verse 12. I'm going to begin this message and I'm going to tell you that you need to build your life on the Word of God. If you build it on anything else, you're going to have issues. I'm going to tell you to build your life on the Word. The Word of God is the only thing that's never going to let you down. Amen. The Word of God is the one thing that's not going to return void. What your family has told you, they may be disappointing you. They may be stressing you. You may be weary right now over people you love, but I want to tell you that the Word of God is not going to wear you out. The Word of God is not going to be a disappointment to you. You can build your life on the Word. If you don't build your life on the Word, when hard times come, you're going to have a hard time to stand. Amen. You stand on the Word. You build on the Word. You plant the Word. And so I'll be the first to tell you as your pastor that just one Sunday morning of me reading to you a couple Bible verses, that is not enough for you. You've got to get this Word out and you've got to apply it to your life. Amen, because after all, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. If you haven't lived in Christ, you haven't really lived. Amen. Now, before we get fully started, I just want to see if anybody's hot. If you're hot, raise your hand. All right, we've got one hot person. Is anybody cold? Okay, we've got a little bit of each. We're going to try to accommodate you the very best that we can. I aim to please. Now, I'm aiming there. I'm not telling you I can't. Now, let me just tell you something. When you get these elastic pants on, sometimes you got to pull them little darlings up. They don't call me Ellie Mae for nothing. I'm not a very politically correct pastor, so if you're asking for somebody to sugarcoat the Word of God, you're in the wrong place. We ain't going to be doing that here. Let's go to Psalms chapter 90. We're going to look at verse 12. And it says here, teach us. Everybody say, teach us. To number our days aright, that we may gain, everybody say, gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. God is not into your life to cause you to come up and to be a failure or to not be a victor. God is always looking for a way to put gain and success and victory into your life. Now, what does the Word of God say? We just read it here. It says, God, teach us to number our days aright. Now, one of the things that I want to point out is there are a lot of folks, and I hope you're not one of them, but there's lots of folks, and they're measuring God. I want to tell you that God cannot be measured. You can't look at your life and say, I'm going to keep messing up for 10 more years because my mama got it right when she was 50, so I got time. Look here. You best be working out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. So the Word says that we need to pray, God, teach us to number our days. What does that mean? Every morning when you wake up, you best say, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know to the very second that I'll draw my last breath. So God, teach me how to use my time wisely. See, because God did not put you on this earth for you to be a bookkeeper or a bookend or a paperweight or any of that. God put you here for purpose. And every morning when you wake up, Brother John, God breathes purpose into your life. And so for that reason, we need to ask God, Lord, teach me how to be wiser with the time that you've given. Because let me tell you something. God put you here for a reason. There isn't anybody else, Megan, that can do quite what you can do for the Lord. Nobody. The devil tries to consume people's time by getting them all wound up in multiple different ways with drama, with problems, with situations that would try to weigh you down. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ worked very hard so you could keep your head held very high. He didn't hold anything back when it came to you. And because of that, every moment that we have should belong to him. Amen. So it says, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In another translation, it says, teach us to use wisely all the time that we have. All the time that we have. One of our shows, how many of you think it's okay for your pastor to be watching TV? All right, well, I hate to tell you, if you didn't, it's going to just be tough because I like to watch a little TV. And I like that kind of TV that doesn't have commercials. My kids, we were on vacation a couple weeks ago, and they said, Mama, something's wrong with the TV. And I said, oh, no, we paid for a very nice room. We are not going to have a messed up TV. And I sat there, and I was looking, and I was, Sherry, I was trying to figure out what was wrong with the TV. You know what it was? Commercials. That's just the day and age we live in. Our kids will probably never know what a calculator was or one of them TVs with antennas that you got to get up and manually change that channel. They won't know that there was ever black and white TV. Lots of things. When I was a kid, we didn't even have TV for a really long time. But anyways, I was watching Forged in Fire. Anybody like that? They make them swords on that thing. Now, you wouldn't figure I'd be watching that, but I like that stuff. And there was a guy on there, and he was very gifted. I always wonder, how in the world of all things did you get into this? Like, I want to know. But anyways, he was a very gifted little sword maker, and he was in there, and he was working on that blade. And from the very get-go, the judges said he started out, and there was a problem with that blade from the moment that he started, and he kept going. Now, I want to tell you something. When the Word of God tells you to use your time and use it wisely, here's the issue. Many people, they won't stop when there's an issue. They'll keep going thinking that it can be somehow right. Look here. If it was wrong on day one, baby, it's going to be wrong on day 100,061. All right? So when we make mistakes, stop right there. Stop right there. Get back on the right track. Don't invest your time into a mistake, even if you've spent a lot of time on that mistake. Quit investing any more time on it. Amen. Let's go now to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 9. Now I'm going to read this in a couple different translations. How many of you love to understand the Word of God? Look here. I've been in church most of my life, almost every day of my life. And I'm not complaining about that. It's made me who I am. And I love the Lord, but I've seen it and heard almost all of it. Okay? And it does you no good to read the Word if you can't understand it. So when you read the Word, it's very important that you read it and you understand it. Get you a translation that you understand. A lot of people say, I don't know how you break this down for us in such a way. Look here, I'm not going to read you 100 Bible verses in a sermon. I may read you 3, I may read you 4. And I'm going to make darn sure that you understand what's being said. That's the most important thing. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9, we just talked about gaining. What were we talking about gaining? A heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. God is never in your life trying to look and make you have a loss. Do we suffer losses? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. God is always looking to add to your life. Always. And so it says, what do we gain by all our hard work? You ever been just doing the best that you could do, and you're thinking, am I getting anywhere? Am I really getting anywhere? What am I gaining from this? You ever feel when you're at a standstill, you just think, I'm not getting anywhere. Do I really make a difference? Is this really? And see, all of those things. Look here. There is nothing new under the sun. There's not a new feeling. You don't think people back in here thought the same thing about their lives at points? They did. That happens to all of us. We all at some point think, I ain't getting nowhere with this. What am I gaining from this? Look here. We've all been there. And so it says, I have seen what difficult things God demands from us. I'm going to tell you, child of God, this morning that there are going to be times where God is demanding some things of you, and you're going to feel like you're having to stand on your tippy toes to do those things. That right there is called growth. Growth hurts. If you've ever had a child and they've cried at night because they're having growing pains, you know what we're talking about. Growing hurts. And the Word says, Solomon wrote, I've seen the difficult things that God demands of us. Let me tell you something. Just because something has gotten difficult doesn't mean that you have the right to give up. I'm going to encourage you to keep going. Because look here, God's already created that victory. He's already brought it about. Amen. And just because it's gotten difficult doesn't mean that it's not from God. A lot of people say, well, you know, God wouldn't bring anything difficult on me. God wouldn't this and God wouldn't that. You need to read your Word. Because a lot of folks had a lot of difficulties in the Word of God. And so there are a lot of things that make life very difficult. And it says here, God makes everything happen at the right time. At the right time. Are things difficult? Yes. Does he make everything happen at the right time? Yes. God isn't going off of our human timetables. He's going off of his timetable. He's going off of his timing. And his timing is impeccable. He is never, ever late. Never late. And so it says, God makes everything happen at the right time, yet none of us can ever fully understand all that he has done. And I want to tell you something. When you go through a battle, one of the things that the devil's going to try to do to you is he's going to try to make you feel like God's walked away. In the battle, there's a lot of isolation that goes on. Look here. None of us completely know all of the heart and the grace and the provision and the favor that God has put into your battle. You don't serve a God that's far off. You serve a God that cares about every single tear you have ever cried up in that battle. And for that reason alone, what we have to settle in our heart is God makes every single thing happen in His timing. In His timing. We have to stop being mad at God, stop questioning God, stop worrying, is God left? Look here, God is still God. God is not out of miracles. God is not intimidated by the problem that you face. God's already in the future looking at something else for you. Amen. My husband always tells me, Kelly, I don't like shopping with you because what you do is you dart. He said, I'll see you in pennies. And them clothes racks are about as high as my head. He said, all I'll see is a blonde blob. And it's just darting. He said, you don't even have a direction. He said, you'll go over here and then you'll go over there. And look here, God is all up in our lives. Where we're fine and we're settled in a moment, Aunt Pat, He's there 5 years from now in that same area where there's been a trouble, and He's working it out already. And so we have to trust God with all of our time. We have to trust Him. And so it says here, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. How many of you know that God is the author and the finisher of your faith? God has not brought you this far to let you have a big fat failure and it let it do you in. He ain't brought your family this far to let you go now. He ain't brought your health that far to let you go now. He ain't brought your finances this far to let you go now. He hasn't brought you this far in your job and in your life and in your recovery. He hasn't brought you that far to let you fall flat on your face. But what we have to do is we have to know that we have an adversary, and his name is the devil, and he's coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So what we have to do is pray every single day, God, give me that heart of wisdom. Lord, teach me how to be a wise person. You ever look at a successful person? One of the things that they got right almost every time is their timing. They've learned. They've learned some things about time. I grew up with this saying, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them, and you got to know when to walk away. There's things and there's areas of people's lives right here in this room, and God is saying, hold them. Hold on. If you'll hold on, you're going to see my glory come into that situation. There are situations in people's life right in this very room. You're messing with something. God never called you to be messing with that. You best walk away from those things. Amen. We ain't sugarcoating the gospel here, because look here, at the end of the day, the most important thing to me is that every single person make it to heaven. That's the most important thing. All that other political garbage, that don't really matter. You don't grow up being bro-A's kids and be politically correct. It just don't happen. So the Word says that from beginning to end, we can't even fathom what all that He's done. What all that He's done. And it says here, God makes everything happen at the right time, yet none of us can ever fully understand all that He's done. And He puts questions in our minds about the past and the future. I know the best thing that we can do is to always enjoy life, because God's gift to us is the happiness we get from our food and drink and the work that we do. Now here's the most important part. Everything. Everybody say everything. Everything God has done will last forever. Everything that He has done is going to last. If something ain't lasted, guess what? He didn't do it. Great illustration. I like to give illustrations because I like for people to really get my point. I'm called an over-communicator. And Jeremy could tell you that. I will hammer my point up into that ground till there ain't no ground left. A couple weeks ago, little old Coco, he was screaming bloody murder up at the top of the stairs. Me and his daddy, we run up there. What's the matter, Coco? He's crying. Carson, hit me. He did. Yeah. Hit me right in the face. Me and Jeremy looked at each other. Said, well, that's funny. Carson ain't here. He goes, he's not. I said, nope. Oh. Hey, whatever God didn't do in your life, that's why it ain't worked out. That's why it ain't stuck. See, a lot of people want to blame some things on God that God never ordained. If God didn't ordain it, it ain't holding up. If it's falling apart and it's caused you grief, you best look at that situation and you best ask God, Lord, did you put this together? Because it's falling apart. God, would you give me something that's falling apart? I ordered some britches from a boutique this morning, and they were just the right shade of blue. Put them things on, looked all snazzy, Brother Gary. Look here. I went to look at myself in the mirror. There was a big hole down the seam of them. I took a picture of them, sent them to the boutique. Look here, God ain't going to give you something damaged. A lot of folks are accepting damaged goods. We need to take them and say, God did not ordain this. I want a refund. I ain't having something busted up from the God that created everything. That's not what he has for me. God's got something absolutely perfect for each and every single person. We have to learn how to use our time and operate in the Holy Spirit in order to be exactly what God would have us to be in all of that. And so it says, everything that God has done will last forever. Amen. Nothing, y'all say nothing. Nothing he does can ever be changed. Now I want to talk to that person that, you know, perhaps you tend to have insecurities in your life about one thing or another. You know, there have been times in my life where people's things mattered. And here's the deal. You could be told a million times no. But if God has said something was going to happen in your life, it don't matter what them people got to say. He'll change their heart. So when we read here that it says, nothing that he does can ever be changed. Stop being worked up by what everybody else is saying about your problem. God's working on it. He's perfecting it. Everything that he does, nobody's changing what God can do. Nobody's changing that story play. If God told you to agree and to pray for a manna center, it doesn't matter what anybody else has to say about that. If God told you, no, I can put this marriage back together and make it better than it was ever before, look here, you think anybody can change that? Nobody's changing that. If God told you to go and to do something with your life and you feel inadequate, look here, you best get that inadequacy off of you because look here, God's done equipped you to do everything that he wants you to do. Everything that, Brother John, everything that God does, ain't nobody taking nothing from God. whatever God has for you, hey, nobody can mess that up for you. People are going to say things. People are going to do things. Problems in life are going to come up. God is not intimidated by those things. He's working those things out. We best know what God is saying. After all, my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger, that ain't, they ain't following that one. What has God told you? What has God told you that he would do? So everything God has done will last forever. Nothing that he does can ever be changed. God has done all of this so that we will worship him. Everything that happens has happened before, and all that will be has already been. God does everything over and over again. Look here. If you up in the middle of a battle, I get it. When you're right in the thick of something, it's like a fog many times. And you ever driven in the fog and you can't even see your own windshield? It's so foggy. When it gets right up in the heat of that battle, that's what that's like. I want you to recall this verse. What did we just read? It's a promise of God. God does everything over and over again. Has he ever came through for you? Tierney, he's going to do it over and over again. He's not going to change his mind. When there needs to be provision, there's going to be provision. When there needs to be favor, there's going to be favor over and over and over again. When there needs to be a healing in your body, there's going to be a healing over and over and over. See, everything that God's done, he continues to do it over and over again. Why? Because there is nothing new under the sun. The same God that blessed you 10 years ago, this is the same God that wants to bless you 10 years from now. We can't afford to feel negative about our battle. What we have to feel is, hey, God's going to get me through this. Lord, teach me what to do in this battle. God, help my timing to be exact. God, I want that heart of wisdom. Teach me how to gain it. Teach me how to gain it. Teach me to use all the time that I have and to use it wisely. When I first started pastoring, here's something you got to know about your pastor. I ain't ever lacked for things to do. I will get myself so busy, I won't even know whether I'm coming or going. And God said, Kelly, only do the things that I tell you to do. Only go to the places that I tell you to go. You know how many revivals I've been asked to preach? God said, no. Don't do that one. Well, I like to preach your word, God. Yeah, I know you do. You're a big mouth. I want you rested. Lord, everybody's asking me to do this, this, and this, and this. I want to do it. No. You're going to rest. Let me tell you something. My worst decisions, I've made them out of fatigue and exhaustion. That's right. Amen. He's amening. He's had to help me work through them. Rest. You wanna focus in on some things with your timing? Rest. Rest in who God is. Rest in what he said. You know what? When I get very weary and I think, I don't know whether I'm up or down, I'll just hike my little chunky self right up to the 14 stairs that lead to my bedroom, and I'll just get up in that king-size bed, and I'll just say, God, I'm going to rest till I hear an answer from you. Because you know what? God, if you rested, who am I to run myself to the ground? We got to learn how to use this time. Use this time. Everything that God has done, he does it over and over again. Amen. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 8. And I want to tell that person, you may be listening on Facebook Live, you may be hearing this a year from now, you may be sitting in this audience, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. I want to talk to that person right now that's extremely weary, you're going through something, you're saying, God, I don't know whether I'm up or down. I'm right in the middle of this thing. And I want to tell you what. It's going to come to an end. It's going to get better. In some of the worst moments of my life, what I really just needed was I really just needed somebody to lock eyes with me and say, it's going to be okay. And so in this moment, I want you guys to feel the love and the grace that God has for you here today. If you're struggling, if you're battling, it's going to be okay. Better is the end of a thing. And let me assure you of something. The end of that battle is coming. Amen. You cannot lose heart. You cannot lose sleep. You cannot lose soul. The end is coming. Amen. What we have to do until it comes, what did we read last week in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3? Though it tarry, wait. Though it tarry, wait. There's beauty and growth in that waiting. If you can stand it. If you can stand it. Better is the end of a thing. What do you do when you're on your worst day? You say, God, in Jesus' name, your word said that, God, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. So, God, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, that you have given me the strength, the grace, and the ability to see this issue to the very end, because, Daddy God, that end is coming. Lord, it will not delay. God, it's going to be there. Lord, you've already there. You've already ordained it. God, so right now, I ask that you speak to me and you tell me exactly what to do every moment that I'm in this battle. Every single moment, God. Lord, every time I need to hit my knees, God, I ask the Holy Spirit to tell this heart to hit my knees right now and to pray it out. See, a lot of things is exactly what Brother Angelo said on Wednesday night. It's a call to praying it through. Praying it through. Most Christians, they want to walk away when it gets hard. Look here, you can't afford to do that. You got to pray this thing through. You got to live it out. You got to go step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. Work those things out. But let me tell that person today, that end of a thing is better than the beginning of it. It's going to come to an end. You're not going to be in this battle forever. You're not going to be wearied and stressed forever. You're going to make it in Jesus' name. And not only are you going to make it, but you're going to be better off than you were when this thing started out. You're going to have more favor. You're going to have more provision. You're going to have more of Jesus up in that heart. God has not ordained failure in your life. So take that busted up version that we got stuck up in our heads and ask for a refund. This thing's got a hole in it. I ain't taking this. Jeremy goes, you just have to call him on Monday. I said, look here, bud. That ain't how I roll. I had my heart set on wearing these blue pants with these new boots. They done messed up my outfit. God help them. That's all I got to say. I said, I done took a picture and emailed this picture to them so they see it first thing Monday. Stop taking what the devil's got for you. I don't want none of that. Man, I want what God's got. God, what do you have? God, what do you have? And I'm going to tell you something. One of the biggest keys to success is being able to see something before it's physically there. See it before it's there. Then what's going to happen is what happened to the daddy of the prodigal son. He looked, and from afar off, he could see it. See, What do you believe in God for today? You need to start visualizing that. I've got a hilarious thing to tell you. The story makes me laugh every time I tell it, because I remember this just like it was yesterday. I'm going to tell you about the timing of God. For 15 years, we believed for this property over here. This property used to have three houses on it. It's only got one. That's where our precious Barbara lives, and that's where she's going to keep living. Back before I was pastor, it's my job to sell them other two. That was a real job, to say the least. Well, I went over to the middle one. We got the far one sold. That took literally over a year to get that off the property. I was so never glad to see something gone. I thought, my God, what takes a year? Moving a whole house. Okay. We get to the second one. I go up. I'm like, this is going to be a piece of cake. Before I open the door, I saw these little cockroaches about as big as my face. I don't do those. Okay? And I started itching. And I had my 350-pound nephew with me. I said, Evan, this is called life lessons. Grow up. Be productive. So you only have to do this one time with your aunt. So we get up here. Before we open the door, we start seeing these cockroaches. Evan goes, Aunt Kelly, I got this. He just kicked the door open. I said, okay. We swept. We did all this stuff. Nothing was making this place any better. I said, Evan, I've got a fantastic idea. We were having issues with the carpet. You couldn't see the carpet because there were so many cockroaches. I said, here's what we're going to do. Me and you, Carson was with us too. I said, we're going to pull the carpet. I ain't never pulled up carpet in my life. So we take the carpet, pulled it up. Now we've got dust and cockroaches and all this thing flying up in the air. I realized why there was carpet down. Because there was a hole in the floor that you could see the ground. Evan goes, Aunt Kelly, don't worry. Even that hole in the ground is better than that carpet. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. We kept sweeping and we kept sweeping. You couldn't tell we swept. I said, Evan, I have another epiphany. Here it is. I'm going to go get the blower. And we're just going to blow all the dirt out the door. He said, Aunt Kelly, that's a fantastic idea. Go get the blower. Okay, Evan. He's about 14 at this time. I go get the blower. Got little Carson. We're trying to work this out. I turn that blower on. We were covered. That stuff did not go out the door. It went all over us. I said, Evan, I have another epiphany. We all three need to go take a shower. Let's go right now. Even my five-year-old at that time wanted to take a bath, and he was not a bath person at that time. I thought, oh, my God, how are we going to sell this property? How are we going to get rid of this house? Ain't nobody going to want this. They're going to walk in here, and they're going to see this. Ugh. The first person that walked through that door was a family. They had three little babies, just stepping stone height, tiny little kids. And his wife walked in, and she goes, this is what we've been waiting for. And they begin to walk through those rooms, and they begin to look in here, and he began to say, this is going to be this one's bedroom. We're going to do this in here. Oh, I can do floor work. Don't worry about that hole. And see, let me tell you something. what I thought was long gone and couldn't be worth anything meant everything to them. See, those people didn't need that house 15 years ago. They needed it 3 years ago. God held that for them, John, all those years. If God has to hold your blessing for you until it's time, he will. Because what we just read is God does everything in his time. He always has the right time. You can't afford to be measuring God. I saw on Facebook several months later, their first Christmas in this home didn't even look the same. See, what God ordains, what did he ordain in your life? Whatever it is, let me tell you something. Heaven, hell, every demon in hell, ain't nobody going to mess that up for you. They can't. Yesterday morning, Dad called me, and he loves talking to his baby girl. And he said, Kelly, what can I pray for? And I'm so unused to people asking me what I need, it took me a second. And I really thought about it. And I began to think of everything in my life that I'm really asking God for. And I said, you know what, Dad, here's the truth. Everything that I'm asking God for, literally, it would have to be a God thing. God is the only one that can make this stuff happen. There's about two or three things, and I said, he's the only one that can do it. If he doesn't do it, it's never going to happen. It would have to be a God thing. And he said, Kelly, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. So what we're going to pray right now is that end result. And he began to pray, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know the end from the beginning. So, God, everything that she's asked for, God, I ask that you'd make it so. God, not according to what she has, but, Daddy, God, according to what you have. Look here, Brother John, ask God for something really big. Ask him, because he wants to give it to you. God's not intimidated when nobody can do something but him. Kind of makes him feel special. Oh, yeah, I could do that for you. Let's do it. It would have to be a God thing. Are you saying that? God, this won't happen without you. Several months ago, God said, Kelly, You begin to see what I want to do. I said, okay. I'm going to work my faith up, and I'm going to build my faith up. Because what you've shown me, God, it would have to be you. God doesn't show you things to intimidate you. He shows you those things because, as we read, he'll give you a vision. And then he's told us, though it tarry, wait for it. What do we do when we're waiting? We use our time wisely. We use that time very wisely. Last place for me, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. That's not an easy thing to do. God didn't call you to only do some things that are easy. He's called you to stand right there and to stand and have your faith. He's called you to finish your race. Amen. I'm going to read it one more time. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. I want to minister to that person today. You're right up in the thick of it. And you're saying, Daddy God, I'm having moments where I'm weary, and I want to use that time wisely like you've said for me to do this morning. I'm going to ask you to come up here. We're going to pray for you. If you need any hands-on prayer for any other reason, we're here to minister to you this morning. God is here to meet you right in that place where it's gotten difficult, right in that place where you're hurting, right in that place where you want to give up, right in that place where you say, I'm not enough, right in that place where you're stressed. Y'all have a moment with God right now. I'm going to ask you to just lift your hands up. God's going to begin to minister to you.
Oh, yeah.